The Lord just has confirmed his word time and time again. If you would go with me to Psalm 42, verses 7 and 8, what a wonderful spirit that we feel here. And if you are a guest here tonight, look no further. You have found the place, the people, the community. And I can say that because I know your leader, the pastor of this church and his family. You have found the place that you need to just invest in. You might as well quit looking, all right? Just quit looking. Psalm chapter 42, 2 verses 7 and 8. When you're there, say amen. Deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy water spouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And oh, thank you for that, Lord. Right? Thank you that when it's in the middle of the day, you're commanding your loving kindness to us. Can I get an amen? Well, thank the Lord for that in the daytime. Comma. And in the night, his song shall be with me. In the night, his song shall be with me. And my prayer unto the God of my life. Oh, if I could just drop a title here tonight and keep moving, it's simply keep singing even in the night. Keep singing even in the night. Subtitle is simply a mind shift. There's about to be, you're undergoing a mind shift. Father, we thank you, we love you, we worship you, we honor you tonight. For your name is above every name. We stand in alignment to your word tonight, and I pray, God, for the next few moments of time that you would bless your people, anoint this congregation to hear what the Spirit would say to the church, Lord. This is a vulnerable moment. This is a transitional place in the Spirit, God. And the enemy would love to move in and attack during a transition. But, Lord, you're raising the flag tonight, and you're bringing a victory already to these people, God, to shore up some places in the Spirit, to concrete some things in their minds. And we thank you and love you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Thank you for standing for the word of the Lord. Everybody going to help me tonight? All right. In the morning, we're getting up to catch a flight and going out west. My wife is, we're going to go hiking. She's got me riding a horse at some point this week in the Sierra Canyons. My dad, before we left today, he said, son, don't get too close to the cliff. She might. But we're going to get away for a week, and we can't wait. We're going to go to Utah and just have a good time, all right? Amen. I want to say tonight that it's no accident that much of Scripture is comprised of songs. The most notable, of course, is the book of Psalms, 150 of them in number. And David wrote many of these psalms in his early life, but he also wrote many for the worship around David's tabernacle, a place on Jerusalem's hill that prefigured the church of the living God. And there would be choirs and there would be orchestras that worshiped God 24/7. And I find it very fascinating because how many know tonight when nothing else expresses our sentiments and when words on the printed page begin to just fall short, when we can't quite capture how we are feeling, the song that we begin to sing unto God is far more powerful than we could ever imagine. I said the song that we begin to sing unto God is far more powerful than we ever could imagine. And might I add tonight, that not only the song is powerful, but the timing of that song is powerful. The timing. Somebody shout the timing. You see, singing about hope when all you feel is despair. That's powerful. Letting praise come out of your spirit when you feel numb and when you feel broken. Oh, what a powerful song that is. Heading toward the light, even when it's dark outside, you begin to strike up a song to the Lord. Having a song of victory when you feel like a failure. You see, it is more than words. It's more than just the timing of singing the song. It really is a kingdom strategy and a determination that says, you know, life may not be going just right for me right now. I may have a lot of hell happening in my life right now, a lot of darkness. But when you begin to sing to the Lord in the midst of all of that, what you're telling God and what you're even telling the enemy is, I'm not going to die here. I'm just not going to die here. It may not be going real well for me right now, but I'm just not going to roll over and die here. Do you remember the dramatic exit that Moses had, he encountered when trying to lead God's people out of Egypt? This last Monday, I got up and I said, I just felt drawn to the book of Exodus and started reading it. God, just to kind of paint the picture, God had heard the cry of his people. I think it was around about 430 years of slavery, 430 years of bondage. And God heard all of their complaints and the murmuring of it all. God raised up a deliverer in Moses, thank the Lord, and spoke to him a mission from a burning bush. Anybody remember the burning bush? Spoke to him this mission to lead God's people out of Egypt into the promised land. And when Moses went to Pharaoh many times, I was reading this week, I'm like, man, Moses was resilient and Pharaoh was just a dummy. He just didn't have it. He just wasn't hearing it. And Pharaoh resisted and Moses came back and Pharaoh resisted and Moses came back and then plagues came. And Pharaoh resisted and Moses went back and more plagues came. Lice is breaking out. Frogs are jumping out of people's dresser drawers. It started getting crazy. And finally, Pharaoh seemingly, he said, okay, you can go. You can go. And it picks up in Exodus 12, if you have your Bibles or the screen tonight, Exodus 12, verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Notice 42, it is a night to be much observed. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Now let me just put a little weight on this, you know. This wasn't just a night for them. You see, some of us are here tonight, but if the Lord tarries, we've got some generations that are coming. Your decisions today can bring life to the seed that's in you. This church, I saw the pictures of pastors down the hallway. I'm going to tell you right now, if the Lord tarries, this church will continue and there will be generations that come after you. Praise God. So let me just tell you, this night experience was more than just a night. It was going to impact generations to come. Go with me to Exodus 14 and 5. Exodus 14 and 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? Why did we let them go? Why have we let Israel go from serving us? This doesn't make sense. Verse 6, and he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots. This wasn't just any chariots. They took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians, you all with me tonight, the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh. Have you ever been to a point in your life where you thought you were free? You thought you had that thing nicked? I thought I had it all under control. And you're out there slow walking, man, thank you, Lord, for your good. And then all of a sudden you look back and here it comes. The roar of the chariots are coming hot after you. And people's like, let's go get them. The whole army's coming after you. Just want to remind y'all. Yeah. Sometimes it chases you down. Sometimes it chases you down. But God's got a remedy for it. Let's read on. And the Egyptians pursued after them. Verse 9, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army overtook them, encamping by the sea. I don't want to impress you with my pronunciation, so I'm going to call it beside P before B. Verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore, what's that word? Afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. That's a good thing. And they said unto Moses after they cried out to the Lord. I don't think they got a breakthrough. Because then they turned to their leader after they cried out to the Lord. I don't know if they were like yelling at God. Then they turned to Moses in verse 11 and said, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us out here to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word, verse 12, that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we can serve the Egyptians? For it had better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Why do people get amnesia? I mean, are you that frustrated? Have you gotten to this place now where you're like, really, you loved the bondage and you loved the slavery and you loved, I don't know what the dysfunction was that they loved, but somehow when life got a little hard, they tried to revert back to their old life. When life gets a little hard, you can't go looking back to your old life. Y'all hear me? Well, you know, those church people down there, they hurt me a little bit. If I could go down and sit on the bar stool with the boys at the bar, at least they would buy me a beer every once in a while. Yeah, but you're a miserable, hopeless man sitting on a bar stool. Thank God for him. Thank God for his goodness. Don't you lose sight. Don't you lose sight of where you're going in God. He says this in verse 13. I like what Pastor Moses did. And Moses said to the people, fear you not. Let me break that down in Tennessee talk. Don't let your emotions mess this up. You're getting a little emotional. Slow down. And I like how he addressed the spirit of fear on them. The spirit of fear is not just an emotion. It's a spirit. Fear is an emotion. The spirit of fear is a demonic spirit. And it will mask itself in all kinds of different ways in your life. It'll show up as anxiety. I'm not saying anxiety is a demonic thing, but it can show up that way. It can show up in darkness and depression and all kinds of rebellion. And so Moses says, hold on a second. You're letting the spirit of fear come out of you. He then looks at him and says, you need to stand still. You need to slow your roll. You need to calm it down. You need to put down your social media feed and stop blasting everybody. I love the passive-aggressive posts. Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you. And the Lord's going to help you hold your peace. You see, sometimes we need to learn that mentality. God says, hold your peace, not hold a grudge. Hold your peace, not hold your bitterness. Hold your peace, don't hold revenge. Stand still, slow down, and let God fight for you. And yes, it's gonna include you losing a little control. Oh my, I loved control. Now you're looking at a broken man just trying to help broken people. All right? Confession's good for the soul, bad for the reputation. There you go. Y'all remember in Acts chapter 3? You might think, well, Brother Purdue, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I feel like I'm doing pretty good with all that stuff, and I feel like I'm trusting my man of God. And I hear that. But I also hear that there's some things in each of us that need a little bit more work. Do y'all remember in Acts chapter 3? I'm trying to hurry, but just stay with me. Do y'all remember in Acts chapter 3, the lame man that they carried every day to the gate called Beautiful? Finally, Peter and John's passing through, and they see the man laying at the gate called Beautiful. The Bible says they fastened their eyes upon him, caught their attention. Did you realize this man, every day of his life, had been carried to that spot? His mind was fine. To my knowledge, hearing was fine. Smelled fine. Lips fine. Talk fine. Heartbeat fine. Arms fine. Ribcage fine. Hip bone, knee bone, fine. Calf bone, if that's such a thing, fine. 90 to 95% of this man, perfectly fine. Somebody told me there's like 206 bones in the body. This man had feet and ankle bones that were broke. But every day of his life, carried to the same spot and begged. What would happen in your life if you let God touch those places? I'm okay. Yeah, you're kind of okay. But there is some places that God's wanting to move in a little closer. Can somebody say amen? The Lord's going to fight for you. Going to hold your peace. The Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Here it is. I'm not going to get real deep. I'm not a deep preacher. Here is the situation I saw this week. Moses did everything he knew to do to rally the people to get him to that point. Right? God equipped him to get him to that point. Here he stands holding a rod. This huge army coming after him. All these people waiting. What are we going to do? And I could just imagine they're starting to turn around saying, what in the world are we going to do? And Moses is like, oh, Lord, I need your help. And finally, the Lord says, Moses, you're equipped to do everything you need to do. It's in your hands. Everything you need to be exactly what God wants you to be is in your hands. You don't need pastor blowing up your phone every Monday encouraging you. You don't need people every day blowing you up encouraging you. You just got to learn to get up and realize God has put everything in your hands that you need to go forward. Oh, I wish somebody would hear that tonight. I wish somebody would hear that tonight. Here's the dilemma. Either you go forward or you go back to Egypt. You cannot be pitiful and powerful at the same time.
Are you going to go forward?
Yes.
I mean, it's okay, chain me up, take me back. Three squares back at the, you know, back at the slave. I'll just go back. We can't go back. You can't go back. Sir, you can't go back. Lady, you can't go back. Don't let your mind go back. God says go forward. I can't leave this point. Forgive me. You got to go forward. Don't go back. There's nothing there for you. Go forward. Let your mind shift forward. When we were growing up, we grew up singing songs that I had no clue what they meant. Anybody remember that old, especially in the 90s, anybody remember that old hymnal, "In the City Where the Lamb is the Light"? I love that song. I didn't know what it meant half the time. And then there's this verse. It says, "I have a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care." And I think I was 16 years old before I really grasped, but it didn't say, "I have a mansion over there free from toilet care." Telling you the truth. That's kind of weird. And then we sang a song about the Lord directing my bark. That always puzzled me. But I sang the songs anyway because others seemed to know what they meant. I remember Pastor at a young age. About the same age. I remember going to church. Some of you young people, listen up to me. If you're like 9, 10, 11, let me give you a little advice. I remember showing up to a little white block church in Muncie, Indiana, and I would make up my mind, I'm going to sing my little heart out tonight. Instead of chewing bubble gum and just, you know, getting under the pew or whatever, I'm going to sing. I'm going to get behind the songs and just sing my heart out. And without fail, I can tell you without fail, every time I did that, God always touched me. It's amazing. When I would lock in, God would bless me. And so I love these songs. I love these songs. The last couple of years of my life, I've been breaking out in that old peace, wonderful peace. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Coming down from the Father above. There's an old song, "Where would I be without Jesus? Where would I spend eternity? I would be lost in a world full of sorrow. Without Jesus, where would I be?" And then about 3 or 4 months ago, Pastor was preaching and they ended the service. The worship team ended the service. And there was this song that the praise team started singing, Pastor Ed. They started singing this song at the end. And I'm going to be honest with you. I looked at my wife. And I'm like, "Baby, if I had a ball cap on right now, I'd flip that thing backwards. And if I could, I'd flip my collar up. And I would like, I hope this is okay. I'd go ghetto. I would just like, I would get some swag." And that song was like, "If you only knew what I was gonna be after the storm, you would not even bother me." You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? That song got up in my spirit. "If you only knew what I was going to be," you like that? "After the storm, you would not even bother me." I was like, "You devil, you done poked a bear right here." I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you, sometimes you got to get a song in your spirit. You got, everything wasn't perfect, but I got a song in my spirit that put a fight down in my soul. Hallelujah. What's your song tonight? What's your song tomorrow morning? What's your song Tuesday night? When the clouds roll in, I'm still going to have a song to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody give him some praise right now. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. You know the world's got some songs. Some of y'all listen to some songs, you're like, that takes me back to spring break 1987. Some of you got some songs, you're like, oh, that takes us back to, boy, we just mopped the floor down at the bar. I'm telling you, it takes you back. Music's powerful. And when you get done praying and you don't have any more words to articulate, I believe in the Spirit, you begin to move into a song. How long's it been since some of you've sung a little bit? Maybe that's the reason you stopped too early praying. But when you keep praying and you keep praying, all of a sudden your soul begins to utter a little bit of praise through a song. I gotta hurry. Hey, listen, y'all. This is in our roots. This is in our roots. Go back to our roots. Anybody remember the name Jenny Moore, who later became Jenny Seymour? Jenny Seymour back on Bonnie Bray Street in the 1906 revival? Anybody heard of the Azusa Street revival? I want to read this for a moment. Jenny Moore, later Jenny Seymour, on the night that the Holy Ghost fell on North Bonnie Bray Street in Los Angeles, California, she had prayed that God would give her the gift of music. She wanted to play the piano so bad, but she had no formal training. But that night, when the Holy Ghost fell, she sat down on the piano. And she began to play, and she began to sing in the Spirit. And here's what's really neat. The first issue of the Apostolic Faith, the newspaper of Azusa Street, came out in September of 1906. It said, and I quote, I don't know if they have that picture that they could find for me, but this is the quote here. This was in the Apostolic Faith newspaper, September 1906. Many have received the gift of singing. How about reading that in the newspaper? As well as speaking in the inspiration of the Spirit. Holy Ghost. The Lord giving new voices. He translates the songs into new tongues. He gives the music that's being sung by the angels and has a heavenly choir all singing the same heavenly song in harmony. So for all of us that thinks, well, I got the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you, keep going. Because there's a song at the end of all that. There's a song at the end of your prayer. They soon called this the heavenly anthem. When they oppressed people, when these oppressed people had been on their faces with God for hours, when the prayers began to run out, when the language of earth could no longer express the feelings of their soul, the room would grow so saturated with the presence of God that a heavenly anthem would begin to emerge. No rhyme, no lyrics, no cadence. People begin worshiping God, and miraculously, the sounds of all brought the power down. God gives the songs. It makes a little bit more sense when you think of Acts 16 verse 22. Acts 16 verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them in prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast with the stocks. Verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed, and they sang praises unto God. I find it interesting the order there. They prayed. And once they got done praying, songs begin to fill their spirit. praise began to fill their spirit unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Isn't that exciting? You know what? It matters, and I'm hurrying tonight, but I also feel like kind of meddling for a moment. Trying to help Pastor a little bit. I'm going to tell you a little bit. You know how important your praise is? It affects your whole section. It affects your whole row. I was at a funeral some time ago, and I noticed them carrying a dead body out. It took 6 people to carry a dead body out. I thought, God, I wonder how many worshipers it takes to carry one dead worshiper. It takes about 4 to 6 people to carry what you don't want to carry. When a service gets tight, don't be the guy sitting there with his arms folded, his legs crossed, and his mouth shut. You need to get a song in your mouth. You need to get a hold of God and say, Lord, you've been too good to me for me to sit here. You've been too good for me to keep my mouth shut. You've been too good to me. And if you don't feel like it, do it anyway. It's the timing of it. It's the timing of it. It's the timing of it. How you think David felt? Pastor said, how do you think David felt? Rolling back in with all these guys and seeing the smoke rolling out of Ziglag. What just happened? What happened to everything I've worked for, tried to protect and build? It's all gone. And he looked, and there's the smoke rolling out of Ziglag, and then all the guys looked at him like, it's all your fault. Oh, my fault. So what'd he do? He went and prayed. He went and prayed. And he got down. I don't know how it looked, but I'm telling you, he didn't have a bunch of people around him. He got down and he found a private place with God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You can't get to the shadow till you get to the secret place. I said, you can't get to the shadow till you get to the secret place. And he knelt down and he began to pray, Lord, help me. These people are going to kill me. I don't know what to do. I don't know what he said, but I know it was something powerful. And he asked the Lord, shall I pursue? Yes. Yeah. Pursue. Let me just help some people. You need to ask God on the things in your life you need to pursue and the things you should not pursue. You can be seated. You need to ask God, should I pursue this friendship or not? Marin and I have realized there are some friendships God wants us to pursue, and there are some friendships he does not want us to pursue. Sometimes, it doesn't mean you got to cross over into the frozen food section of Walmart to miss these people. You still love them, even if they don't love you back. But it doesn't mean I got to chase them down. And just because I've learned some people go silent on social media doesn't mean they're always the bad people. Sometimes the more mature people say, I'm not going to get on there and just talk about it. I'm going to God to pray about this. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be that person, right? David said, shall I pursue? David said, shall I pursue? God said, go ahead. Go ahead and pursue. The Lord said, you're going to go recover all. You're going to go get back every single thing. Everything the enemy's taken from you, you're going to go get back all of it. If you only knew what I was going to be. David's popping his collar, flipping his hat on backward and say, let's go get it all back. Let's go get back our sons. Let's go get our daughters. Let's go get our marriages. Let's go get our ministries. Let's go get this city. Let's go get it all back. I want it all back. Pharaoh looked at Moses at one, in one time. He said, Moses, who all you going to take with you? What you mean? That's it. What you mean, who am I taking with me? I'm taking everybody with me. I'm taking everybody with me. I'm taking our sons, our daughters, the good people, the bad people, the rich people, the poor people. I'm taking them all with me. Last time I checked, this is a church that wants everybody. You can be seated. I believe there's churches and cities that develop a homosexual spirit. Hold on. It's not like you think. It's not where a man's in love with a man and a woman's in love with a woman. It's where church people are only in love with church people that are just like them. Let that sink in. Well, I can only love you if you look like me, talk like me, dress like me. The Lord says, I hate that stuff. You get everybody in here. You love on everybody. I don't care what they look like. You get them in here. And let me do the loving. Let me do the preaching. Let me do the doctrine. Let me help them. In the meantime, let's just all keep speaking the same language like they did in the upper room, because it's powerful. Would you just go ahead and remain standing tonight? Just if you would stand. Let's lift our hands to the Lord here for a moment. God, I feel that mind shift, God. I feel like this body is about to shift in the spirit. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. Open that mouth up. Open that mouth up and talk to Jesus tonight. Yes, 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 yes. Recover all, recover all, recover all. Recover all, recover all. Moses walked him across. They get to the other side and they look back, and here comes Pharaoh, and here comes those chariots coming after him. And all of a sudden, those waters that had been pulled back, they begin to recede back together. And they look back, and the Lord said, look, the horse and the rider, they're both drowning. They're gone. They're never coming back after you. Now, for those in this room tonight, in the New Testament, what we just talked about is symbolic of types and shadows of water baptism. When they walked out across, God wants to take you to a new life. He wants to take you to a promised land. But how many know like me, we got a past? I said, how many's got a past? And you need God to just take the waters and just to scoop it all up, to flood it all up. When you go down, all that past, it goes under the water. Just like all those horses and Pharaoh's chariots, they all got washed up in the water. How many remember the statement when Christ went to Calvary? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? I think that's one of the questions that I've heard the most in my life. Why did Jesus say, my God, why have you forsaken me? From the cross. How can the one who's fully God, yet fully man, have God forsaken him? And we come up with theories, and the best of which is that Jesus experienced what all of us would suffer from time to time, and that is people turning on you and dark clouds and skies coming to your pain. Jesus was tempted as we are, and the loneliness he felt that day was the sum total of all the loneliness each person would ever feel. He felt rejection. He felt pain. He felt loneliness. He felt the ego of life crushed in his self-esteem. I'll even say this. He felt the gnawing sense of, I'm not good enough. I'm just not good enough. They don't want me. All he was doing was expressing his love to us. But what we don't realize sometimes, while he's on the cross in his darkest moment, he was reciting a psalm. The 22nd psalm, whose superscription reads, to the chief musician, or the dawn of redemption, Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even while he's on the cross, with the darkest day upon him, in the pain of all pains, in the rejection of all rejection, he was singing. I don't know who's here tonight. I don't know the pain that I saw this altar flood a minute ago, and we have prayed over you. But now God has given you strategy for when you leave here tonight.